How many didn't come last night and are here now? Oh, hi, y'all. I'm so glad y'all are here. This is so fun. Y'all are so wonderful. Okay, who visited the prayer room? I went there. I couldn't sleep. I had an invitation from God last night. Did anyone else have an invitation from God last night? Instead of an interruption, you had an invitation. I had an invitation, and I didn't look at the clock. I'm assuming it was one or two. And I went to that room, and it was just delightful. I hope you'll partake of that room. It's really wonderful. I want to open with prayer. Magnificent Lord, I love you. I cannot believe that you saved me. I cannot believe that I woke up this morning without a hangover, that I woke up this morning not with a strange man from years past, but with you. I cannot believe that you saved me and set me free. And Lord, I can't believe you speak through me. That never ceases to amaze me that you would speak, even the name of Jesus, that you would let me say your name, a wretch like me. I get to not only say it, I have your name. I'm your daughter. You adopted me. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you that my daddy loves me. Thank you so much that I'm a daddy's girl. Lord, I just tell you that sin separates me from you, and I just ask you to forgive me. Lord, I pray that I would be empty today and that you would just fill me up, that you would speak to every woman here. Lord, I don't have the power to do that. I'm not gifted that way, but Lord, I thank you that your spirit is present here, that your spirit can speak to every woman's heart. And Lord, I'm just asking you for a mighty thing. Lord, I know personally how sin has separated me from you for most of my life. And Father, sin separates all of us from you. And I'm just asking, Lord, that you really speak clearly to us about sin, because you don't want to be separated from us. It's because you love us. I'm just asking that this message would be very clear to every woman's heart, so that nothing would separate any woman in this room from you. That's what I'm asking for, Lord, and I just ask that confidently, knowing that you hear us and you love us and you want to speak to us today. I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just hate it when I cry my makeup off the very first thing because I looked so adorable this morning. Okay, let's get started. God's purpose, what is his purpose? It is to love us. Ladies, his purpose is to love you. He is crazy about you. He wanted to adopt you. He doesn't just want to be your creator. He wants to be your daddy. He wants to teach you, to take care of you, to protect you, to help you. He never wants to be separated from you. He wants it to be very personal. This isn't generic. Like President Bush loves America. That's generic. I mean, you know, I guess I'm America. But ladies, God loves you. It is personal. It is meaningful, and if you're going to listen, if you're going to put your, remember last night we talked about our lookers? My little grandson calls binoculars lookers, except he cannot say his L's, so they become wookers. So all of you need to put your wookers on this weekend, because I want you to just look, especially today, look at how God is speaking to you. And ladies, sin will separate us from God. It always does. Anytime you are angry with someone or you've had a disagreement with someone, it separates you from them. That's the first reaction of Adam and Eve. What did they do? They went and hid. Sin causes us to hide from the one who loves us, from the only one who can save us from it. And when we fail to obey his word, which is his will, when we fail to obey this word, then we're in sin. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you'll obey me. We talked about that in a previous retreat. Ladies, we try to obey him, but let me tell you what we ought to be doing. We just need to be loving him. If you love me, you're going to obey me. Forget trying to be good. God's not impressed with your actions. He's impressed with your heart. So if you want to obey God, just concentrate on loving him. And I couldn't do that very well, so I just asked him, Lord, I don't know how to love you. Not sure that I want to. So teach me to love you. And when we sin, do you know what that's like saying? I don't love you, God.
Whatever, I don't love you. Love me, love my will, love my purposes, love my plan, love my word. Don't love you. Whatever.
That's what sin is saying. That is what sin is saying. And when we sin, God doesn't hear our prayers. God can't hear us. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord won't hear. And we want the Lord to hear us. Remember we talked last night, we want to make a connection with God. The purpose of prayer is to make a connection with God, to communicate with God. It's a dialogue, it's not a monologue. And if you want to connect, if you want to communicate with God, sin's going to stop all that because he can't hear you. Do you hear it when your children, if your teenager came and asked for drugs and alcohol and to give them a keg party, would you? I mean, you would hear them, but you're not going to even pay attention to them, right? Right? See, God doesn't hear us when we don't ask according to his will. But let me tell you something about sin. That does not mean that God's love for us ever changes. I want you to hear me. Put your wookers on and put your whisteners on. Listen to me. That never changes God's love for you. It has never changed one tiny degree. His love for you is not based on your sin or your righteousness. It is based on his righteousness. It is not based on your faithfulness or your unfaithfulness, but his faithfulness. It is unconditional. He doesn't love you less when you're bad or more when you are good. He loves you the same as he has always loved you. He doesn't grow in love for you. You've got to understand that. We may feel differently about ourselves, but God never ever has changed the way that he loves you. John 17:23, now listen to this. It says that God loves you as he loves Jesus. Did you hear that? He loves you as he loves Jesus. Now, Jesus was his perfect son. I'm not the perfect daughter. But he loves me as he loves the perfect one. That just blows my mind. I can't wrap my mind around the fact that he loves me as he loves Jesus. That's just impossible. But sin does separate us from him, not him from us. So I want us to look at the story of the prodigal son. What a fitting story. And I want us to see what it says about sin and about truth and about repentance. This story is really all about the father. It talks about a father, but it's really about God. And it's found in Luke 15. You don't have to go there unless you like to read along, but I'd prefer that you just listen. Luke 15, verse 11 through 24. A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate I have coming to me. So he distributed the asset to them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered together all he had and traveled to a distant country where he squandered his estate in foolish living. After he had spent everything, a severe famine struck that country and he had nothing. He had nothing. Then he went to work for one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed swine. He longed to eat his fill from the carob pods the pigs were eating, but no one would give him any. When he came to his senses, I love this, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have more than enough food? And here I'm dying of hunger. I'll get up and go to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your servants. So he got up and he went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and he threw his arms around his neck and he kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But, remember our big old buts? The truth always comes after but. Well, here's the truth about the father. But the father told his slaves, quick, you bring out the best robe and you put it on him and you put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fattened calf and slaughter it. Let's celebrate with a feast. Let's party. Let's party big time.
You know why? Because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to celebrate. So what does this say about sin? Sin brings separation. Sin separated this boy from his father. He wanted to squander all that he had on loose living. Verse 30 explains that loose living is his life with harlots. Sin separated him from his father. Sin separates us from God. Never separates God from us. Don't forget that, ever. But it does separate us from God. Have you separated yourself from God? Ladies, if you're separate from God, you have no peace. You have no peace in your life. That will be the first sign that you are separate from your father. There's a lot of fear when you are separate from your father, and for a very good reason. Sin promises much and delivers little. It promises much and delivers little. The son expected that his desire for loose living would make him happy. I won't ask you to raise your hand, I'll raise mine. I thought sin would make me happy. That didn't work well for me. How is it working for you? That does not work well. Sin does not, it does give you some pleasure, but it's always temporary. It's never lasting. It is never everlasting. It's followed by great neediness, great emptiness, great fearfulness, great hopelessness. Sin makes us needy. Verse 14 says that there was a severe famine in the land. Sin is like living in a land of famine. Sin is like living in a land of famine. He was hungry. And let me tell you something. He had a hunger pain, and that's a good thing. It was that hunger pain, it was his need for food that had him come to his senses. That's a good thing when we are needy. It's a very, very good thing. Sin leaves us feeling helpless and afraid and fearful. Neediness is a good thing. It's God's way of saying, you are far away from me. You're far away from me. Come on home. You're seeking something that cannot fill you. Your heart is hungry. That neediness is God calling to you. But so often when we're needy, we won't go back home. The last thing we'll ever do is go back to the Father, who has much more than we need. We just, or at least I did, pursue more of the sinful things that continue to leave you empty. It's a vicious cycle over and over and over again. I was such a needy person. I told you all that. You've heard that 100 times. So insecure. And do you know what I thought? I made the mistake of thinking that my poor life, the fact that my daddy had died when I was so young, that my mother was an alcoholic, all that stuff is why I'm so insecure. And partly that was true, but a very small part. Do you know what the biggest part of my insecurity and hopelessness and fearfulness was and suicidal tendencies was? Because I was in sin. I was in sin. I mistook the hunger pain in my heart, thinking it was something else, but it was a hunger pain because of my sin. Because I was immoral, horribly, horribly, horribly immoral, looking for love in all the wrong places, only to be more empty every single day. Are you craving so many things, yet remaining empty? Are you needy in your heart? It's God you're craving. It's God that you need. Ladies, you've never had enough of the things of the world in your life. It is never enough, ever. Sin has promised you much, but delivered little. Sin promises freedom, but it delivers slavery. Verse 15 says that this young man began to work feeding the pigs. That means he's a slave. John 8:34 says, truly I say to you, here's another superlative, and you all know I love superlatives. Everyone, what did I say? Everyone. There's not one of you that commits a sin who is not a slave of sin. You're not free. You think you're free, but you're not free. The road to sin looks like a road to freedom, but ladies, it leads right to prison. Psalm 107:10-12. This is a really neat psalm if you've never read it. Psalm 107. I'll just read a little part of it. Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help them. What sin are you a prisoner of? What sin are you longing to break free from? What has promised you freedom but delivered slavery? Sin promises wealth, but it delivers destitution. Verse 16 tells us that no one was giving this young man anything. Apparently, he had to feed the pigs, but no one was giving him any food. Sin promises much but delivers little. Romans 6:23 says, "But the wages of sin is death." You are paid by your employer. If you work for Wendy's, McDonald's will not give you a check because you don't work for them. And if you're working for sin, God will not pay you in blessings. Do not expect blessings when you are working for sin. Don't expect that. And don't think that your misery is because God is a cosmic killjoy. Your misery is caused by your sin. Your sin. It's left you empty. It has everything to do with your sin and that neediness that you feel, that emptiness, the wage that you are being paid that you hate being paid by is a result of sin. What are you being paid by? Sin or righteousness? One's a road of peace and joy, and one is a road of hopelessness. No peace. Truth brings liberation. I love this part. Truth brings liberation. Truth frees us to see God as he really is. I love this. Verse 17 said, I love this. The son came to his senses. The son came to his senses. He woke up. He had his wookers on. He had his whisteners on. Coming to your senses is coming to a knowledge of the truth. Ladies, being in need, suffering the consequences of your sin is a wonderful blessing. It's a wonderful blessing to let you know something is wrong. Let me just give you a clue here. If any of you have children, don't stop them. Don't protect them from the consequences of their sin. Don't do that. Consequences are a wonderful gift from God so that you can come to your senses. If any of you are protecting your children, teenagers or younger or older ones especially, stop it. Let them suffer for the consequences of their sin. They might come to their senses. It's a wonderful thing. And this young man came to his senses, and what was the first thing he did? He realized the truth about his father. My father gives the servants much more. We have a God who gives much more. Psalm 106:7, when our fathers were in Egypt, they gave no thought to their miracles, to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses. Verse 13 says, they soon forgot what God had done and did not wait for his counsel. His counsel is his word. Constantly in the Old Testament, you hear the words, remember, 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 remember what I did, remember what I did, remember what I did, remember, remember, remember. Why is that? We need to remember who God is. We need to remember that he's our source, he's our provision, he's our father, and we forget that. We forget that, and it leads us to sin. We forget that we're just the creature, and he's the creator. We forget that we're just the clay and he's the potter. We forget that we're here for his purposes, not for ours. And we forget that it's not all about me. So we need to remember. Has the truth freed you to see the benefits of your father? Your father is able to give you more than you ever asked for or imagined according to the power that's in you. Do you lack power, ladies? Do you even realize that there is power in you? The world of sin is a wasteland of famine. Remember who you are and remember who your father is, and you don't have to live in that land of sin. You don't have to do that. Truth frees us to see ourselves as we really are. Verses 18 and 19, the son realized that he was a sinner. He said, I've sinned. I'm not even worthy to be called your son. And he was liberated by that truth. It liberated him to get up and leave the land of sin and go back to his Father. That's what the truth will do. It liberates you to know that you're a sinner. But you know what? Most of us don't find going back to the Father easy. Most of us will not come to our senses. We'd rather blame others for our sin rather than admit the truth. Years ago, when I had all the children at home, we had four children at home, I walked in the back door one day and I smelled dog poop. One of those rotten kids had tracked in dog poop to my house. I could smell it everywhere. I was angry. Everywhere I went, dog poop. I just thought those goofy kids have not paid attention. After all my hard work, they have tracked dog poop from one end of this house to the other. And I was mad. And I called them all in there and I said, let me see your shoes. One of you have not been paying attention and you've tracked dog poop in here. Let me see your shoes. So they all lifted up their shoes. There was no dog poop. And I said, I know it's in here. Well, I went through all their closets. I'm looking for dog poop everywhere because I could smell it everywhere. I knew it was in there. Days went by. I could smell dog poop everywhere. I was so angry that someone had tracked the dog poop in the house. I sat down on the couch one day and I crossed my leg over my other leg and I smelled dog poop and I thought, they got it on the couch. Those rotten kids have got dog poop on my couch. And I looked down. On my shoe was the dog poop. No wonder I smelled it everywhere. Everywhere I went, there it was. It was dog poop everywhere because I had it on me. Some of us are like that with sin. We smell it everywhere. We feel its effects everywhere. We are affected by it. But we think it's somebody else, not us. We have no peace. We have all this resentment and all this anger and all this frustration. And we think somebody has dog poop, but we never check our own shoes. We never check our own hearts. Psalm 32, 1 through 5, David talks about what happened to him when he kept silent about his sin. It says that his body wasted away and he groaned all day long. Day and night, God's hand was heavy on him. And remember, that's a blessing, ladies. His vitality was drained. His energy was drained. And then I acknowledged my sin to you. In my iniquity, I didn't hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. He said, my transgressions. Ladies, we've got to confess our sins. Some of us continually recall and talk about the sins of others. I did that for the first 30 some odd years of my life. My parents, this, and my husband's, that. My friends, this. Constantly thinking about all the sins of others, thinking that's why I was so miserable and pathetic and so suicidal. I had poop on my shoe. It was me. I was the problem. I want you to think for a minute. Is your life always a mess? Does everyone, that's a superlative, everyone always misunderstand you? Does everyone always fight with you and make you miserable? Maybe the problem's you. It is not possible that everyone is making you miserable. Have you gone from husband to husband, relationship to relationship, job to job, constantly thinking that everyone else had a problem? When will someone give me what I need, what I deserve? Ladies, the problem may be you. It couldn't possibly be everyone else. That is simply not possible. If you have that mindset, I want you to really think about that. You may be the one with poop on your shoe. Who are you blaming for your problems? Are you blaming God? Is it even possible that you are needy and that you have so many problems because God is trying to get your attention? Neediness is a great blessing. Consequences for sin are a great blessing from God. It's to wake you up. He's speaking to you saying, precious, darling, I have more than enough for you. Come on home. Come on home. But rather than coming to our senses, we make excuses for our sin. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe to all those who call evil good and good evil. Verse 24 says, "For they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." That's what happens when we blame others or make excuses. We call gossip just being helpful. We don't call that sin. I'm just being helpful. Well, I'm just being honest. Well, I'm just giving a prayer request. Oh, really? We call anger just telling it like it is. Well, I can't help it. I'm not really angry. That's just how I am. I can't help that. That's just how I am. You got to get over that. That's just me. Really? We call immorality love. Well, I just love him, and he loves me. God must want that because I feel so good. Really? We call abortion a choice, and we call lying, well, I just don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Ladies, that is sin. We'd rather defend and excuse ourselves, and I'll tell you who we need to defend, and that is God. We need to defend what he says and what he requires and what he wants, not ourselves. And we need to call sin, sin. There is no freedom without truth. And your friends and the world will tell you, it's okay, everybody does it. You worry about too much stuff. Don't worry about it. Everybody does this. You're fine, you're normal, don't worry about it, get over it. And you have no peace, and you have no hope, because you will not call sin, sin. There is freedom when you call sin, sin. What has a stronghold over you that you must call sin? Admitting the truth is a lot easier than trying to hide it and excuse it and blame others for it. Jeremiah 2:34-36 says, "But in spite of all these things," all of their sin is what it's talking about, "you claim, I'm innocent. His anger is sure to turn away from me. God will forgive me. It's okay. God loves me. But I will certainly judge you because you have said that you have not sinned." How unstable you are, constantly changing your ways. We had a house fire in 1994, and boy, I don't know if any of you have ever had a fire, but in our case, we lost everything, not only just from the fire, but from smoke. It just damages every single thing. So literally, we left our house that night just with the clothes on our backs, and they were stinky, smelly, smoky. And so we, even our medicine, our toothbrush, toothpaste, everything was just left in the house, so we had nothing. So I take hormones. So I placed my little order for my hormones a few days after the fire, but I did not have time to pick them up because I was busy. I had to find a rent house. I had to get new clothes. The list was so long. So I was busy. Several weeks had passed since I'd had my hormones. And my husband and I were having sort of a discussion one day. And it was not going well, shall we say. And I was sort of, not quite myself, shall we say. And maybe I was talking rather loudly. And that was normal for me in the past, but my husband knew that that was not my norm now. And so being a very wise man, he knew something is very wrong with this woman. Very, very wrong. And he was trying to think in his mind, what could possibly be the problem here? Because that's not like her. And he suddenly hit on the subject of hormones. And so he, being a very wonderful man, very wise, said to me, "Debbie, would this have anything to do with your hormones? Have you gotten your hormones at the drugstore?" And me being a very gracious, godly woman, filled with the Lord and his word, with peace, I said to him, "If you think for one minute this has anything to do with my hormones, you've got another thing coming." I love that story. That is so true. I'm not exaggerating. He loves to tell that story.
"If you think for one minute."
I was possessed. And he said, "You know what? I'll be right back. Which drugstore are they located at?" So all those warnings about hormones, you know, don't take them. And I know that some of you might want to speak to me about it later, but don't bother, because I'd rather die young than die nuts at 90. So I will keep taking my hormones, okay? I don't care about the hot flashes. I care about the insanity. I had lots of the symptoms of no hormones, but I didn't recognize that. I should have, but I didn't. Some of us have lots of symptoms that there is sin in our lives, but we don't recognize it. We will not recognize it. Isaiah 42, 24 through 25 said, "Was it not the Lord against whom we've sinned, in whose ways they were not willing to walk, and whose law they did not obey? So he poured out on him the heat of his anger and the fierceness of battle, and it set him aflame all around." Do you get the picture? There's a man standing there, and there's fire all around him. Yet he didn't recognize it, and it burned him. Yet he paid no attention. Do you get that picture? Standing in a field with battle all around you, there's a fire all around you, and it's burning you, and you're just standing there, not paying any attention. That's describing somebody who is not admitting sin. Do you see that? You have all the signs of great sin, but you will not recognize it. You will not admit it. I've spoken to y'all twice before, and you've heard me share about my daughter. And when she left her husband, and ladies, I was devastated because of the girls. She had two daughters. And I've shared some of that with you, not to demean my daughter, but just to tell you that I'm a real woman with a real life and real problems, just like you. And I left y'all on Sunday a year ago, a little less than a year ago, and I get home on Monday, and my daughter had written a letter. She was really angry with my husband over something he had said about her husband. And she had a right to be angry. I want to defend her. She had every right to be angry. But without going into all of those details, ladies, I was livid. I can't even tell you how livid I was. Not because she was angry with my husband. That was totally appropriate. But I had finally had it. And I really thought in my mind, I don't want to deal with this anymore. I am sick of it. I'm sick of hurting all the time. I'm sick of it. I called a girlfriend, and I was just sobbing. And I said, I don't even want to do this anymore. I was so bitter towards my daughter. I said, I don't even know that I want to see her again. I'm sick of this whole mess. And my friend very wisely listened to me, very compassionately listened to me, and cried with me. And I said, "What am I going to do?" And she said, "May I be very honest with you?" And I said, "I wish you would. I am desperate." And she said, "Debbie, you're in sin." Those words pierced my heart with freedom. I knew immediately she was right. I didn't know how, but I knew she was right. And I said, "Tell it to me. I need to hear this. I am so sick of being a prisoner in this. You tell me what it is, because I can't see it." And she said, "Debbie, your anger towards your daughter is sin. This is bitterness. You are in sin, and that is the problem, not her." And she was right. The root of bitterness defiles many. I cannot tell you how God, the sword of the Spirit, which is His Word, pierced my heart. And it was a clean wound. And I knew that she was right. I got on my knees. I begged God to forgive me. And ladies, let me tell you something. I had freedom. I had freedom for the first time in years. I had peace. I had hope. Why? Because my daughter changed and finally changed her actions and made me happy? No. I changed. I admitted my sin. I cannot tell you the freedom. And I wrote her a letter. And I said, "I need to tell you, first of all, Gary is sorry for what he said about your husband. But guess what? I'm sorry. Let me confess, you didn't say anything about me, but I've talked about you too. I am sorry. Would you please, please forgive me?" And I beg God, "You let me love her. I love my precious daughter more today than I have ever loved her. I have such compassion for my precious, precious daughter." I hadn't slept in years well. I have perfect peace. Not because my daughter's changed, because I've changed. I had prayed for God to change my daughter, and I should have been praying for Him to change me.
Are you praying for God to change a child or husband or a grandchild or a boss or a pastor? Maybe you need to pray that he would change you. Ask him to give you lookers to see your sin. None of us can see the truth about ourselves apart from God's word. Ladies, if you are trying to see sin, if you are smelling the effects of sin in your life and experiencing the consequences of sin, you will not be able to escape. You will not be able to recognize it fully apart from his word. Does anybody remember what happens if you're not in his word and his word is not in you? Anybody remember? You are what? Big fat trouble. Remember that last year? If you're not in his word, what are you in? Say it.
Big fat trouble.
Big fat trouble. Because you can't possibly recognize when you're in sin. What might you be blind to? Ladies, you might consider asking a trusted friend. And first of all, if you don't have a trusted friend, pray for one. I pray that God would give me a woman that I could trust, that would love me enough to say, Debbie, you're wrong. I don't want somebody to just please me and tell me I'm right when I'm wrong. I want somebody to love me enough to say, you are apart from God's word, and that is not correct. Ladies, if you can't see, if you are smelling the poop in your life and feeling all the effects of sin, but you don't know, like I did, you honestly don't know what it is, and where the poop is, you might consider asking a trusted friend. Trusted friends, now I would like to speak with you. Please wait to be invited. Please don't rush out after this session and go, I'd like to talk with you. You got some poop, girlfriend. Don't do that. You pray, though, if you're a trusted friend and you know that your precious friend's problems are a result of her sin, pray for her. Ask the Lord to open her eyes, to give her lookers, so that she can see. And if the Lord wants to use you, that's fine. But don't be haughty. That is a blessing that God has given you and a call to pray. If you can see your friend's sin, that is your call to pray, not to judge her, but to pray for her. And the truth frees us to repent and turn away from sin. I love this. Verse 20 says that he got up and he came to his father. When we repent, when we confess the truth about ourselves, it gives us freedom to leave sin. It gives us freedom to leave it. Has the truth freed you from your sin? Seeing the truth of your sin, he said, I am unworthy. That's what he said. Now, let me tell you something. Here's what often happens. You will see your sin. You will say, I am unworthy. But that is where you stop right there. That's what I did for years. You just realize, I am a sinner. And that's where you stop and where you stay. Why? Because the enemy is lying to you, telling you God could never forgive you. You wretch. You wretch. You're so filthy. He could never clean you. And he's a liar. Why do you think he does that? He does not want you to go back and be united with your father. He does not want you to have the provisions of your father. He wants you to remain destitute and in prison. Ladies, don't listen to that lie. If you recognize your unworthiness, you get up and you run to your father as fast as you can. There are options, there are choices, and let me tell you why. It is because Jesus Christ died for you. He paid the ultimate price. So that you don't have to. He separated himself from his father so that you never have to be separated from him, because that's God's purpose, a personal, loving, inseparable relationship with God. Do you realize that the greatest tragedy on that cross was not all of the excruciating pain and emotional suffering of being rejected? He was God, his father, whom he had never been separated from for all eternity. He separated himself from his father. He did not have the presence of his father. I can't even grasp that. And he did that so you would never, never, never have to be separated from your father. Psalm 106:13 says, Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them.
from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest of gloom, and he broke away their chains. Verse 16 says, he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Verse 20 says, he sent forth his word, and he healed them, and he rescued them. And if you don't have the word, what are you in? Big fat trouble. He frees you and he rescues you and he heals you through his word. And verse 21 says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for the sons of men. Do you feel trapped by sin? Is there some sin that you keep doing over and over and over again and you cannot break free from it? You have a choice. Jesus gives you a choice. He won the victory. And if you leave sin, you know what you're going to find? That God has never turned his back on you. He has constantly, faithfully been watching for your return. I love this part. Verse 20 says, the Father saw his Son while he was still a long way off. Do you know what that means? He had been waiting and watching for his Son the whole time. Waiting and watching the whole time. Even though the Son had never even glanced back at the Father was continually looking on the horizon for his Son to return, constantly. And it says that the Father had compassion on his Son. That word means in your gut. He felt compassion for his Son because he loved him. Compassion. And this is my favorite part. He ran. He ran. He ran. He didn't just walk over there and go, well, see, you came to your senses. Have anything to say to me? Huh? He didn't walk slowly, begrudgingly. He ran. Unbridled passion. He ran for his Son. He could not wait to get his arms around his Son because that's God. He wants a personal, loving, inseparable relationship. And he kissed his Son. And embrace means he threw himself on his Son. He just didn't go, have you ever hugged somebody, their body's this way and their hands, you know, he embraced him. He threw himself on his Son. He could not wait to get his arms around his Son. God's all about relationship. When Clinton and Bush were running for office years ago, there was a bumper sticker that Clinton put out. It's the economy, stupid. We need a bumper sticker. It's the relationship, you ninny. God loves you. He wants a relationship with you. A personal, inseparable relationship. And repentance, when you repent, when you leave your sin, it brings restoration. Restoration is putting something back to its former condition. The Son told his Father he had sinned, and the Father restored him to his former condition. The Father gave him a robe, he gave him a ring, he gave him sandals, not just any robe, the best robe. That was all indication of, this is my Son. He is not a slave. He is my Son. He has full rights to do anything in my name. He is my Son. He's been restored. Not because the Son was worthy, because the Father was worthy. Not because the Son was faithful, but because the Father is faithful. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from a little bit of unrighteousness. All unrighteousness, all unrighteousness, every single last bit of it. I didn't ever get that. I grew up never feeling clean, always worried about my sin. And even when I became a Christian and I read this verse, he is faithful to cleanse me from all my sin, I just never felt clean. I never felt righteous. I constantly remembered my sins. Well, we know who that's from, but I didn't know that at the time. And years ago, we went to Haiti. I went to Haiti on a mission trip. Don't know if you've ever been to Haiti, but it's even hotter than here. I didn't know I had that many pores. Every pore on my body, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, there was water. There was moisture on every part of my body. And because there are no paved streets in Haiti, all the dust was on me. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. From head to toe, I was covered in grit and dirt from head to toe. And when I would sweat, then it would kind of run down little rivulets and kind of make a clean. It was just the most, I've never been that dirty in my entire life. Never. And I got in the shower that first night, and I was standing there. It was the most incredible thing. And as I stood under the water, literally, I could see the dirt just in a sheet. I don't know if you've ever been that dirty. It's amazing. Just sheets of dirt running off of me, leaving this clean skin. And it just was swirling down the drain. And I was just amazed at all the dirt that was on me. And suddenly I realized that is a picture of the way God cleanses me from all unrighteousness. When I confess my sin, it's done. I mean, it just sheets of that sin. It's done. It's gone. It's down the drain. I could not retrieve one grain of that dirt right now if I tried. Couldn't find it because it is all gone. Some of us stink and we're filthy, and yet we keep trying to cover up our sin. And God wants to cover us up and clean us up. Sin will separate you. It always makes you want to hide from God. The last thing you want to do is pray. And that's the one thing you need the most. The first thing that Adam and Eve did, they went and hid. And they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. And God said, that's not good enough. And he killed an animal and he used the skin to cover them. That was the first sacrifice, the first shedding of blood for sin. The first sacrifice. He covered them with the skin of an animal. And ladies, he has covered us with the blood of Christ. We have righteousness because of the blood of Christ, because of the perfect sacrifice of the Lamb of God. He has clothed us with righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. Isaiah 43:25 says, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I won't even remember your sins. Isaiah 43:25. He won't even remember your sins. Are you trying to cover up your sin? Won't you just come to him and confess and let him clean you up and cover you up with his righteousness? And the last part of that verse, verse 23 and 24, said that the Father threw a big party. When sinners come home, God throws a party. All of heaven rejoices when sinners come home. Why? Because now God has that personal, inseparable relationship with the object of his love, which is you. Isn't it time to party? Isn't it time that you came to your senses and saw the truth about yourself? My uncle Nat, I told you last night, came and told me when my father died, and he was a precious, godly man, and I just loved him. I wished I had been his daughter. And I just adored him. And I don't even know that I ever told him, but in my mind, he was like my father. And yet, when I got pregnant at 18 and divorced twice and all those gross things, the relationship suffered. Now, I always thought it was because of him, but sin separates us, so I'm not so sure that it wasn't me. And in 1997, he had lung cancer, and he was dying. And a couple of weeks before he died, that little Debbie, that Debbie that I told you all about last night, that just wanted my daddy to love me, just was in full force, and I so wanted to call him. I so needed his approval. I wanted to say, Uncle Nat, have you ever forgiven me? Could you ever forgive me? Could you just tell me that you love me? Could you tell me you forgive me? Could you please tell me that you're proud of me? I have changed. This was just a few years ago. I so wanted his acceptance. I wanted that relationship restored. But I didn't make that call because I was afraid that he wouldn't tell me he loved me. My father loves me. My daddy loves me. And I'm only telling you that because, ladies, some of you feel that way about God. You won't come to him because you're terrified he won't love you back. And he loved you enough to die for you.
And he wants to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Do not let fear hold you back from confessing your sin. He wants to set you free. Ladies, come on home. Some of you really need to come back to your Father. He loves you. He wants you to come home. He's been waiting for you. He's been watching for you. He's been looking for you. And he wants you to come home. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a time where you can go be with the Lord. Ladies, you will only get out of this retreat what you put into it. If you came here for a good time, you can have that. But some of you really need to just go somewhere, go anywhere, go be alone with your daddy and say, Daddy, I'm sorry. And you need to call sin, sin. And you need to leave that land. You need to leave it. You need to come away from that place of famine and come back home where there's more than enough. Ladies, come back home. So only the Spirit, I can't make you do that. I can't manipulate you to do that. I would if I could. I really would. But I'm just begging that Jesus Christ would draw you to himself. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I can't ask you enough. Please, please work in the hearts of these women. Lord, I know the effects of my sin and how it keeps me away from you, and it kept me away for 31 years to the point of suicide. And Lord, these ladies hurt, and I know hopelessness, and I know that there's no peace when you're sinning. Lord, I'm just begging you to break our hearts. I'm begging you to speak to us and to heal us. We are broken. Lord, let us know our sin. Let us feel our neediness, and let us come home. Lord, I'm just asking that you do that, that you break many a heart now only to restore it and build it up. I'm asking you that in the name of Jesus, and I ask you that with confidence, knowing that that is your will, and I am praying according to your will. And so I know that you hear me, and I know that you will perform your will and your word. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.